This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com. Think you know who the Pats will take in the first round? Want to know what positions the team is targeting? We'll let you know what we think. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this Draft Prospect Review Podcast with the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Wednesday, March 25th, Gillette Stadium. Welcome to another Patriots.com podcast. This one is a prospect review where we each and every week preview the prospects for the upcoming draft. This week we're talking fat guys, which means Paul Perillo is back on the podcast.
I'm back, baby.
After his long break.
Welcome back, Cotter.
I got nothing to say, however.
Okay, good. But we are indeed talking fat guys. That means tackles, guards, and centers in the upcoming NFL draft, and obviously the glamour position.
Tackle.
Just look back a year where Jake Long was number one overall pick.
That's right.
And once again, tackles are in the conversation for the number one overall pick for the Detroit Lions, who have reportedly opened up contract negotiations with some different picks. One of them, potentially, Virginia's Eugene Monroe. Mm. And that's where I'm going to start because he is Andy Hart's favorite.
He's great.
He is a... Well, I will say one thing. You're looking at a tackle at the top of the draft. Generally, you start as a pass-protecting left tackle because that's where the money is made. It's a passing league, spread offenses, and you're protecting
the
franchise.
Yep.
He's not a great run blocker. I'm not sure he ever will be a great run blocker. I don't think you need to be a great run blocker. I think you can get in the way in the running game. If you can go a whole season and allow one or two sacks and be an elite left tackle,
that's pretty good.
You're worth money. Well, maybe not the money that you actually get at the top of the draft, but you're worth some big dollars. And I think Eugene Monroe is the elite tackle in this draft. There's a lot of guys in that conversation, it seems like, atop the draft. A couple Smith brothers from other mothers. Andre Smith out of Alabama, who is the
enigma of the draft.
Much troubled when AWOL from the combine was suspended for his last game under Nick Saban at Alabama.
Made some questionable workouts.
Egregious mistake of running with his shirt off for some reason during his pro day workout, which, you know, I'm not going to pretend any of these guys would look good running with their shirts off. It's just he's the only one I saw
actually
on
doing
video running with his shirt off. It was disgusting.
It was a mistake.
You know, Paul keeps his shirt on in the pool. People know better. If you don't look good
pool,
with your shirt off,
I certainly don't do much running without my shirt on.
You know, he wasn't
slow.
Don't do
much running.
His 40 time was fine, but the image everybody left with was a fat guy with cellulite on his boobs.
They were pretty unflattering photos. Those made the rounds even when I was on vacation.
And he just didn't need that. He needed some sort of positive boost. Mm-hmm. And since the end of the season, when he was suspended, he's had nothing but negative. Didn't speak well at the combine. Didn't perform there. Went AWOL. Miscommunication. Does he have an agent? Does he not have an agent?
And all that said,
terrible.
I don't think his problems are at all physical. I think they're all upstairs.
Oh, no question.
They're all mental.
If based on the physical, he'd probably be the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
He's very talented. He's a big dude who can move. But because of this, who knows where he's going to end up. He could still end up in the top 10, or he could slide maybe into the 20s. I mean, I think he's all over the place.
But you mentioned Monroe earlier. Here's how good Monroe is. Not only has he played and started for Virginia for a long time. You remember last year's draft, one of the top prospects was a guard, Brandon Albert, from Virginia.
I believe what I said was, how can you draft a guard that high? He wasn't even good enough to play tackle in college.
Exactly.
And
so what did they do?
He didn't play tackle.
The Chiefs drafted him, moved him over to tackle, and he flourished there. So what does that tell you about the guy who kept him from playing tackle at Virginia, James Monroe? He's pretty good now.
Right. The one fear I have about Monroe is
I'm sorry.
Not the fifth president.
I'm sorry.
He reminds me a little bit of DeBrick, who also was a left tackle out of Virginia, who was, you know, can't-miss prospect. Similar, I would say, style, a pass protector, not real strong. And he hasn't been all that good.
Well, he's been on the fence, you know, can't miss. He's been on the fence of missing here.
Yeah, and so that is just, and I know it's not fair just because they wear the same uniform to compare him, but Eugene Monroe is not strong. He's a good, athletic, pass-protecting left tackle. I think he only did like 20 or 22 reps at 225. He needs to work in that area, but in terms of those guys, I think the next guy who might be in the conversation for good is Jason Smith.
Absolutely.
He is a nice package. He doesn't have all the issues that Andre Smith has. 6'5", 300. The only problem I have with him is he's slower. He's like the anti-Eugene Monroe. I think he's a pretty good run blocker and
very
a road grader,
yep.
But you don't draft those guys, you know, in the top five. So I have my concerns about him. I actually get the feeling he could be an NFL right tackle.
Right tackle.
And NFL right tackles don't get paid like NFL left tackles or get drafted like NFL left.
However,
tackles.
If you're a team like the Pats who might be looking to strengthen your right tackle position at the right,
if he slides,
at the right, for some at the right value, he might be a good pick.
But sure,
that might be a good spot to kind of jump off. Though, where do you see the Patriots sort of jumping into the offensive line, specifically the tackles, if at all?
When, like what Eric said, value. When value slaps him in the face, maybe that's a first round guy. You know, a top half of the first round guy available at 23. I wouldn't eliminate that possibility, but it could be a second round guy available in the fourth round, and they see that, or whatever it is. Wherever they see value there, I do think they would try to get another offensive lineman to add to the mix here. I think the right tackle spot or the left tackle spot. I wouldn't totally disregard drafting a left tackle and moving light to right tackle. I think there's an open kind of game plan or depth chart there at tackle.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's something that they need to look at. Maybe I would be surprised at in the first round.
Right.
Yeah. Unless one of these blue chip guys slips.
One of the three second rounders, I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah. Sure. Next in line, Michael Orr out of Mississippi. I was just
famous for the book.
The book that he hasn't read. Maybe can't read. I don't know. Eric,
You can't speak.
I can't. That's okay. He can't read. I can't speak.
Andy's teleprompter isn't working.
Yeah, my teleprompter.
All right, hold on now.
I'm going to get to it. You let me finish. They plug that thing in. I'll be back like the president. I thought he was a good package. Just I wasn't wowed. Nothing really kind of
His stock seems to be rising among mock people. Though he seems to have,
you know what that's worth?
Very little. It's worth what
you're
paid for.
More credit than I give it.
But for whatever that's worth, yeah, I liked his tape. I mean, I wasn't, overwhelmed by anything there, but certainly deserving of where I think he fits in this list here, top five of these prospects at tackle. Though,
a couple other guys: Eben Britton out of Arizona, Jermon Meredith, South Carolina.
I liked him.
I liked him that he bounced around. He's played guard, tackle, both tackles, some versatility. So he's
little,
a guy.
Little on the lighter side for a guy at that position.
Well, he's added some weight. He played at like 289, 290. He's added like 15 pounds since then, as a lot of these guys do, because if they're, if the question about him is weight, then they get in a program and add some weight before the draft, the combine. So he's bulked up a little bit. I liked his versatility. One guy I didn't like, who's been a riser in this process, is Beattie out of UConn.
Yeah.
I thought he sucked. Personally,
yeah.
Everything I saw, I thought he was high. I thought he didn't have great feet.
Wait a minute. I thought he was on drugs.
What?
Oh, sorry.
No, played
blocking
a little high.
Technique.
I thought you said you had nothing to add. Let's stick
right.
with that. he's a guy that supposedly has this high ceiling and great upside. Well, maybe that's because he's just not that good. Everybody assumes he could be better or something. I didn't like anything I saw from him on tape. That said, another guy down the line there, Phil Loadholt out of Oklahoma, was okay. I had no pros or cons really on him. I really liked, and I don't know how to say it, Fanuki Tupou out of Oregon. Big kid, played a lot out of the two-point stance because obviously they're one of those spread offenses, which is a problem. A number of these guys have guards, tackles. They're always in a two-point stance. You never get to see them with their hand down, run blocking. It's part of the projection process that spread offense has brought to kind of the whole draft process here. Mm-hmm. But I really liked him as a later round guy. And I know, Eric, you really liked Alex Boone.
I did not like Alex Boone. I know you're being facetious, but he enormous size, which is what you're obviously looking for, but he didn't have the quickness, I thought, to go with that size. Very experienced, though, 4-year starter for Ohio State. He's had some off-the-field issues as well that I think would raise question marks to a lot of teams, particularly the one that we work for here. So I would tend to probably stay away from Alex Boone. As much potential as he might have, I don't think he'd be worth the investment.
Yeah, I didn't like him either. Big guy, too, though.
Very big. 6'8". There are a lot of 6'8 guys.
And you know my theories on that. Years it's been taller is better at tackle, long arms, the width, the length, deal with the outside linebackers. I think they've turned that corner. They're getting too tall.
Until we get to LSU, which we're going to come up with in the guards.
Okay.
I think the guy from LSU there, Herman Johnson, best lineman in this draft, I think.
You like Johnson? The tackle position,
guard?
Yes.
Yeah,
wow.
He's not. I don't think
biggest
he's going to
be a guard
in the NFL.
Biggest kid ever born in the state of Louisiana, 6'8", Paul.
6'8", 382.
15 pounds, 14
Doesn't
ounces
play it, though.
At birth. He weighed Eric at birth. I mean, he was Eric big at birth. It's amazing. But we'll get to the guards.
Point.
I just want to go one last thing through the tackles.
Sure.
Obviously, the marquee spot, and some of these guys are talking about. I say a guy like Tupou out of Oregon. He's a potential third-round pick. Our friends over at Draft Scout think as many as 30-something tackles could go on draft weekend, when you're talking about the seven rounds. They have potentially up to five guys with Britton right on the edge there for Arizona as first round picks. So, you know,
and that
we've
was
seen
big,
that before.
There was a lot of tackles in the first round last year. So that's
it tends
not
to be a position. Seems like there's a run. You know, I don't know why exactly it is. They always talk about runs in the draft. It seems like
defensive
tackle is one of those.
In tackle.
Yeah, because I guess there's only so many big bodies that are athletic enough to play in the league. So it'll be interesting to see if there's another run on tackles.
One other name to throw out there with regard to the Patriots, because of the Urban Meyer connection in Florida, Jason Watkins. Looked at his tape. He's versatile. He can play either guard or tackle, I think. Very athletic. A little bit raw. Still probably needs some work. But I think if he came to a team like this that has an experienced, proven offensive line coach like Dante Scarnecchia, might be worth a risk in later rounds.
Sure, developmental guy. I made up a term for him. You know, we say jag, Paul. I called him a jat, just a tackle. I had nothing glamorous to say about him either direction. Let's move on to the guards, Eric, since you're so excited about the Johnson kid. Duke Robinson is the top guard out of Oklahoma. And I like his film. I think he's a good player. He's a second-round pick, potentially, as we all know. Most guards don't go in the first round. Unless you're the Patriots and you draft Logan Mankins
or,
and end up
with
an all-pro.
What's his face? Hutchinson from Detroit a few years
ago. So what's the lesson there? If you draft a guard in the first round, he's probably going to be pretty good in the pros, right? How many first-round guard busts are there?
Oh, was he not Detroit? He was Seattle.
He was Seattle.
Steve Hutchinson. Babbling again. I thought you had nothing to offer.
No. You're right.
As many as three or four could go in the second round there at the top of the guard class. Draft Scout thinks about 17 could go on draft weekend. Duke Robinson, I liked his film, but I said to Paul, he's a guy that jumped off the film for me because I remembered the championship game.
Two
glaring, egregious penalties where just dumb kind of plays that you're not looking for. Now, obviously, Logan Mankins is the same. I mean, he's had some questionable hits in his career.
Well, do you spin it like that? Plays with a little bit of an edge.
Plays with a nasty edge, or is a hothead who's out of control is going to hurt you?
The thing I didn't...
That's what your scouts do.
The thing I was a little reluctant about with Robinson's film was he looked a little slow for a guy his size. There were some other guys who were that big. He's 6'5", 335, who looked like they could move around better. He just seemed like he was a step slow in my mind.
I like him.
That was the only knock I had against him. Everything else looked technically sound.
To play in line with the nastiness and that angle, he finishes his blocks. When he gets his hands on a guy, the guy's done. Thanks for playing. Now, you know, he can be beat like any player can, but it seemed like once he got his hands on a guy, the guy was dead. Now, Eric, now you, I'll let you lead the charge here on your guy. 6'7", 356 pound. Paul, like most players at the combine, he lost an inch. But
yeah.
Tell me about your favorite Johnson.
I mean, the guy's an absolute monster. I mean, when you look at a guy that size, you automatically assume he's just a big lumbering kind of guy.
First of all, you don't even think he's going to play guard.
No,
I can't imagine a guy that size playing guard.
Can you imagine? Say the Patriots drafted him and him standing next to Dan Copen, he'd probably be what, 4 inches taller than him?
Yeah,
and 100 pounds, 5 inches.
Yeah,
I mean, because Copen weighs in right around 300. This guy. They list him at 360 or whatever.
Earlier he was 382.
And he was 400 at times in his career there.
Talked to him at the combine, and he is every bit the 6'8".
I wish I had seen that visual.
Oh, my God.
Standing next to this guy.
Thank God he was sitting at the table, though, so I had a chance to look eye level with him while I was standing up.
Sure you were. He was probably still towering over you.
But moves around ridiculously well for a guy that size. I think he could easily play either tackle or guard on either side of the line. He has the potential, I think, to be a dominant player in this league.
I think he does, too. The one question I have, he doesn't play as big as he is. I didn't see him as the powerful road grader that a 370, 80-pound guy should be. Now, maybe he can learn to use it. There was actually one time where he pulled, and there was a linebacker filling, and the linebacker almost knocked him on his ass. And that worries me. If a 240-pound guy can knock a 380-pound guy down, it's like he hasn't learned to use his size yet. But he's an interesting story. As I said, the biggest baby ever born in Louisiana, 15 pounds, 14 ounces. He's one of those man-child kind of people that
automatically
fourth grade was like 6'6".
Soon as he's drafted, he's going to be the biggest player in the NFL, size-wise.
Literally.
Is that true? Yeah.
You know that for a fact?
I saw it written somewhere, yes.
On the internet? Oh, good. According to the internet, if Herman Lewis gets drafted, he'll be the biggest player in the NFL.
Herman Johnson.
Herman Johnson. Who's Herman Lewis?
I don't know.
Herm Lewis.
Next up, Craig Urbick out of Wisconsin. Andy Levitra,
a riser
out of Oregon State. Eric's favorite players.
I heard you.
Cincinnati's Trevor Canfield. Tyrone Green out of Auburn. Jamie Thomas out of Maryland. Louis Vasquez out of Texas Tech, any of these, Eric, that you really liked or disliked?
I like Urbick. You know, Wisconsin's known for producing really talented offensive linemen. I think they've got another one here.
They have a couple in this draft, yeah.
They do, yeah. Also very big for a guard. I think he could easily play tackle as well in the NFL. I'd like to see him be a little bit more aggressive out there on the field. You had that concern about Johnson earlier. I think Urbick might fall into that category, too.
It's funny because he's more of a technician-type blocker, which is generally what you see from smaller guys. And guys of size usually put their size
use. Right.
Remember the kid out of Iowa last year that the Patriots had in here?
Yes.
He was like 280.
Really
he
short.
He was a technician because at 280 you have to be a technician.
Mike Elgin.
Elgin. When you're weighing in at like 325, you know, I'd like you to be a technician, but I'd also like you to kill some people with your size.
I'm not sure the Patriots look for the huge size either.
No, I think they're an athletic offensive line.
Especially the interior guys. They need to move. And I think you see that with Mankins and Neal and Copen, especially on those screens, you know, and even on the wide receiver screens that they ask, you know, the Matt Light to get out there and make a block that's very difficult to do.
Yep.
I think that size maybe is a little bit less on the priority list for the Patriots.
I like the Tyrone Green kid. He's kind of a riser. He's a fourth-round pick, 6'2", 309. It's funny because he runs a 5'4", 40, but I thought he pulled well. I thought he looked relatively athletic.
5'4".
That's not what we're looking for. That's well below Andre Smith, who everybody wanted to make fun of as being fat and slow. But I also like the Auburn offensive line. I feel like they produce, you know, certain schools, your reputations. BC has always been an offensive line school. I like what Auburn has, like Ben Grubbs. They had another kid I liked that same year that I thought was just as good as Grubbs. And I've always thought, and I don't even know who coordinates our offensive line there, but I think they produce good NFL offensive linemen. So, you know, he'd be a guy keeping an eye on.
I also liked Canfield, the kid from Cincinnati. He kind of played with that mean streak that we talked about, like Mankins, a little bit earlier. And I think he has the size and versatility to play either spot, too. There are a lot of these guys at guard who I think are really tackles at heart, but are for some reason playing guard in college.
That's a great thing to have, as we all know. You can only have seven offensive linemen dressed and blah, 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 and you get to back up a couple different spots. You know, that certainly plays into the whole Patriots versatility thing. I felt the same way about Vasquez. I think he's a big guy with good power, and I thought he had that mean streak. Mm-hmm. One guy I didn't like was Derek Dockery's brother, Cedric, out of Texas. He's a guy with injury concerns. Some people think he has an upside. He hasn't developed into what he can be yet. I thought he was just blah. He got the old Andy Hart down arrow.
My note on him was gets lost in the crowd. You look at his film and you kind of lose track of where he is. That's not a good thing, I don't think.
That is not a good thing, Eric. And finally, we'll move on to the center position, where I don't see a huge need for the Patriots, seeing as not only do they have Dan Copen, who's been both good and pretty durable, they brought in Al Johnson, who's an experienced backup now, starter in the league, and you know, so something they haven't had there in recent years.
And they also have Russ Hochstein.
Right, the Russ Hochstein, Billy Yates versatile. I mean, Al Johnson, I think, is a borderline starting caliber center they have behind Copen now in training camp. But looking at some of the prospects here, again, a position where even the best prospect is a borderline late first-round pick, and that would be Alex Mack this year is the guy who's hovering right in that end of the first, early second. Couple other second-round picks, Max Unger out of Oregon, Eric Wood out of Louisville. According to Draft Scout, maybe 11 or 12 guys could get drafted over the course of the draft weekend from the center position. I thought the top guys, both Max Unger and Alex Mack, both looked like elite, could be very good NFL centers.
And not just centers, though. I think those guys both have the ability to swing over to guard if need be.
Boy, you're big at moving people around.
Well, they talked about that a lot, too, at the Combine, was that they all have experience doing that. I think these kids at the Combine are starting to get the drift that a lot of NFL teams, taking a cue from the Patriots, like their linemen to do more than just one thing. And so I think when they get the chance to do so in college, they leap at that opportunity because it kind of helps their draft stock down the road.
Sure.
But you look at their size. Max Unger, 6'5", 300 pounds. That's pretty big for a center, and I think that's about right for a guard. So I think he could easily do both if necessary. But if you want to stick him at center, I think that, you know, his film speaks for itself. I think he can certainly do the job there.
Wood out of Louisville is an interesting guy. 49 consecutive starts as a center for Louisville, which is pretty impressive. Also, reportedly, one of those film study guys that, you know, 3 in the morning would be in the football office watching film on his own. Maybe not the most physically gifted guy, but gets the job done. And as a center, I don't think you need to be the most physically gifted. I think smart centers are where you want to be, and he's one of those guys. So I think he's an interesting prospect to keep an eye on as a team looks for the anchor in the middle of that line to put everything together for him. And then the pipeline schools we always like to keep an eye on.
Alabama.
Antoine Caldwell out of Alabama. I really liked his footage, actually. He's a guy that's considered third, fourth-round pick, 6'3", 309. But I thought he just looked like a good, solid guy to put in the middle of your line.
They had a
run
great
block,
offensive line this year, Alabama did, individually and
focus
collectively.
On it. Bill Belichick likes good offensive line play. Nick Saban likes good
that's
offensive
right.
line play. They like to focus on those things, Eric. But I thought he's an interesting guy. And as I said, we always keep an eye on those pipeline schools mm-hmm. to come from. Any steals on offensive line, Eric? Who are they going to get?
At this position, I just want to throw out one more name, Alex Fletcher from Stanford. We might not have tape of him, but talked to him at the combine, and he seemed he actually expressed
Eric likes the smart guys.
No, I'm just saying he expressed he admitted that he had some interest already expressed a couple of times from the Pats. So just keep that in the back of your mind.
Will do.
We all know that I like the Johnson kid from LSU.
We all know that you like a good Johnson.
All right, yeah, and we already have one in Al Johnson, so can never get enough, can you?
Can never get enough Johnson,
right.
Can you, Eric?
Yeah, exactly.
God help us all.
what about the Cecil Newton kid?
I agree. It's Cecil Paul.
Oh.
I agree with your assessment of Louis Vasquez of Texas Tech.
Yeah, I liked him.
Mean streak, excellent size, could play tackle, guard,
again, though,
whichever.
The two-point stance problem.
Yeah,
which,
right, the spread offense.
I'm sure our friend Mike Leach would poo-poo and say, in 2 minutes I can teach a guy to play out a three-point stance.
And if you bring him to Dante Scarnecchia, I
right.
think you'll know sooner rather than later whether this guy has it or not.
So the biggest question, I guess, is we know they're going to draft an offensive lineman because they have 11 picks right now. They're going to draft one or two at some point. Question is it yet another developmental guy, or is there a chance that this – everybody says that right tackle spot is unsettled, it's not cash or whatever – is this the time when they look at that, maybe one of those second-round picks? You have four picks in the first two rounds. Could they be drafting a potential starter at on the offensive line?
I think it's possible.
Okay, give me the name now. Thanks.
Oh, all right. Hang on.
You might want to
hang on. Hold on now. Hold on now.
Come on now. Give me a minute. They turn that prompter back on. Eric's going to give me a name.
I'll tell you what. If he drops there, they'll take Herman Johnson and use him either as the a guard
Johnson.
Or a tackle.
Okay.
That's the name I'm going with.
One guy that's been tied to them is Beatty, who I already poo-pooed, so I can't make that. So I'm going to go Jamin Meredith, a versatile offensive lineman, 4'9". You know, we talk about 5'4 on the other end. This is a guy that plays tackle and guard mm-hmm. and runs a sub-5'40. I mean, he's borderline Pettigrew, the tight end out of Oklahoma, ran a 4'8'7 or whatever.
Yeah.
This
wow.
is a versatile offensive lineman with the same type of skills.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guy.
Okay.
Out of South Carolina, versatility. Probably could play some fullback if he's running 4'9'9s out there. I say they take him with the third of their three second-round picks.
Okay.
Paul, would you like to make a guess?
Well, I don't have a guy to guess, but I would agree with you guys that the second round, I think, might be the year that they're looking to replace Nick Cashier. I think they're looking for a starting caliber offensive lineman. Maybe not starting on September 14th, you know, against Buffalo, but, you know, a guy that they envision as the starter at right tackle. If not left tackle with the switch to,
you never know.
To Matt Light. I agree with you guys on that.
All right. Next week, Eric.
Tight ends.
Tight ends and wide receivers. Mm-hmm. We'll be looking at the skill positions in the passing game. Another area where Patriots might not necessarily need a starter, but could be looking for some youth to develop as guys like Dave Thomas, Ben Watson come to the end of their contracts here in New England this year. And other guys like Randy Moss, you know, isn't going to go forever. You had some youth there. Joey Galloway is certainly a short-term fix at receiver. You know, could be looking to inject some youth into the passing game there, either tight end or receiver.
The Patriots are in a fortunate position this year that the spots where they don't necessarily have an immediate need happen to be very deep in this
wide
draft.
Wide receiver, so one of the deepest in the draft.
They can either take chances or they can find a gem later on when they've already taken care of another position, you know, more pressing need like corner or outside linebacker. So this is the year to do it. I think the pieces are falling into place for that.
The pieces are falling into place here on Patriots.com as we're hitting full stride in our draft preview coverage for text updates, audio updates, podcasts, video, prospect database. We got it all. Check Patriots.com, go to the draft section, and you'll get all our analysis on all the prospects that will be available come April 25th. And we should remind you,
1 month from today,
Patriots added
draft.
Another top pick in the top 100 picks, the 97th overall compensatory selection Three of them they got, but they now have six picks in the top 100, which means they're really going to need to listen to these podcasts if they're going to find out who they're going to draft on draft weekend, because Eric brings you the analysis. Bill will be listening. Nick Cassari will be listening. Right. Maybe Paul Perillo will listen so he can contribute next week. That's going to wrap up this podcast. That was Paul saying I'm contributing. We'll talk to you next Wednesday with another Patriots.com draft prospect review, where we preview the prospects each and every week.
Peace out.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.